sort of outlining everything you were discussing yesterday, you know, like written a chart.
Very good. It was good. Okay. So let's get started here. We're on Daf Peches Omer Aleph. And we're on the top line, Toshma. This Sanya, there's a collection of brises which is called Seder Olam. And it goes through Jewish history, different dates and very important, significant calendar dates. And it says that Nisan Shebo Yotzu Yisrael v'Mitzrayim, in the month of Nisan, when the people went out of Egypt, B'Arba'asar Shachtu Pischeim, they shechted the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, B'Chamishasar Yotzu. And the exodus from Egypt took place on the 15th. V'Oso Hayom, and that day was Erev Shabbos. Okay, so we know that according to this record, the 15th of Nisan was on a Friday. And the month of Nisan is a mole, it has 30 days to it. And therefore, Midereish Yarcha de Nisan B'Arv Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Friday, then Reish Yarcha de Iyar Chad B'Shabsa. In other words, what you do is you add 2 days of the week from Friday to Sunday in order to calculate 2 weeks plus 2 days later so that you have the month of Nisan is a mole. In other words, that second day is going to be the first of Iyar. And that's going to be a Sunday because from Friday, if you count another two Fridays, you have yourself the 29th of Nisan. Shabbos becomes the 30th of Nisan, and therefore Sunday becomes the 1st of Iyar. Now let's calculate when Sivan comes out. If that is the case, that the first day of the month of Iyar was on a Sunday, then Sivan, now keep in mind that Iyar has only 29 days to it, so in this case, we're going to only add 1 day of the week to get to Rosh Chodesh. Is therefore Sivan betray B'Shava. So Sivan is on a Monday. Rosh Chodesh Sivan on a Monday, Kashal Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi, if you recall, was of the opinion that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Sunday. The Chachamim hold that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday. So this Braisa reflects the Shita of the Chachamim. Omelcho Rabbi Yossi, Rabbanan hi. That this Braisa reflects the Shita of the Rabbanan. Toshma, we have another Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Now here we're going to find a contradiction between Rabbi Yossi himself, as we know it from the sugi that we did yesterday, and Rabbi Yossi here as recorded in the Braisa. B'sheni Ola Moshe V'yorad. On the second day of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu climbs up Har Sinai and he comes down. And this was the first round in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people of Israel that they will be unto me a Mamleches Kohen V'Goy Kadosh. Moshe, on that day, let's say he comes down from the mountain in the evening and he tells the people and they respond by saying, Kol Asher Asher Tomer Nase, we accepted Torah. And Bishlishi Ola V'yorad. Now on the third day of Sivan, Moshe again goes up the mountain and he comes down again. And here is where Moshe gives the people of Israel the mitzvah of Hagbalah, that they should be at a distance from the boundaries of the mountain of Sinai. And Biria Birivi Yorad Vishuvlo Ola. There's something missing here in this Braisa, because in the Braisa it says that on the fourth day of Sivan he came down. And he no longer went up again. So what happened exactly on the fourth day? I mean, the Bryce only records that he came down from the mountain. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. Now, Miachar Shalo Ola, if the Bryce doesn't mention that he went up on the fourth day of Sivan, Mehechan Yorad, from where was he coming down? Eli, you have to add something into the Bryce. Berevi Ola V'Yorad. And that's going to be the day in which Moshe Rabbeinu receives the command of Prisha, that the men and women have to separate these themselves. The Braisa continues and tells us, Bechamisha Bona Mizbeach. And this is a parsha at the end of Mishpatim. And that parsha is part of what's called the Gerus, the national conversion of Klal Yisrael that took place with Karbanos. And Vehikriv Olav Karman. So Moshe Rabbeinu sets up a Mizbeach, he brings a Karman. In fact, it's a whole series of karbanos, as outlined by the Torah. And Bishishi lo hayalo pnai. He was very preoccupied on the sixth day of Sivan. Now, what was he busy with on the sixth day of Sivan? I mean, it seems like everything has been covered. My lab mishum Torah. Shouldn't we assume that on the sixth day of Sivan, he was preoccupied with giving the Torah, with the Aseres HaDibros? That would reflect the Shita of the Chachamim, that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi has already committed himself to the position that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan. How could Rabbi Yossi contradict himself? So the Gemara says, Lo Mishum Torah Shabbos. The Braisa here of Rabbi Yossi is not talking about the 6th of Sivan as the day in which Moshe was preoccupied with receiving and transmitting the Torah. The 6th of Sivan was Erev Shabbos. Right, the Torah is given on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, on the 7th day of Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is on a Sunday, which means that the 6th of Sivan is on a Friday. And when it says here in the Braisa that Moshe Rabbeinu was preoccupied on that day of the 6th of Sivan, it doesn't mean he was preoccupied with giving the Torah. The Torah is going to be given on the 7th of Sivan on Shabbos, but rather that Friday was a day that was dedicated to prepare for Shabbos. Now, I'm not sure why HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't have given the Torah to Klal Yisrael on that Friday, according to Rabbi Yossi. Is it because of covered Shabbos that therefore the Torah had to be, so to speak, postponed for another day? Or could we alternatively perhaps say that the reason why the Torah couldn't be given on that Friday is not because it would have interfered with the preparation for Shabbos, but because Moshe Rabbeinu had added another day of Prisha, a third day of Prisha. And Rabbi Yossi Shita is that a poleta shechvazera is only tahora on the fourth day. So we have to wait till Shabbos to guarantee that everyone would be pure in order to receive the Torah. The Bryce itself wants to somehow convey a message that what was Moshe preoccupied with on that Friday, since for other reasons that have to do with Prisha and Tumah V'Tara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be postponing the Torah for one day and giving the Torah on Shabbos, what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing on Friday? Was he twiddling his thumbs? And the answer is, he was involved in preparing for Shabbos. And perhaps this is an opportunity for the Braisa to emphasize how important it is. You know, Chazal say, Mishlo Torah Berev Shabbos, he didn't prepare on Friday. What's he going to do on Shabbos? Dorash Ahu Glila, somebody from the north, one of the budding scholars, had a drasha, Aleid Rav Chizda, in front of Rav Chizda, Brich Rachmana. Now, this very interesting presentation, which apparently took a lot of thought, a lot of preparation, is going to emphasize the number three. How important is the number three? And blessed be Hashem, Diyoiv Orion Tlisai. In other words, the Torah is made up of three parts. That's Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Li'am Tlisai. The people who are divided up into three groups, that's Kohanim, Levi'im, and Yisra'elim. Biyom Tlisai, which means after 2 days of Prisha, it was given on day three, in which case there would be no Tumah of Poleta Shifas Zara. And Biyarcha Tlisai, right? So you have Nisan is the first month, Iyar is the second, and Sivan is the third. On the third month, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. Now, Rabbi Yossi holds that it was the fourth day of Prisha when the Torah was given. And that would mess up this Hahugli Lai in terms of his calculation that the Torah was given on the third day after Prisha. Or shall I say the third day of Prisha. So the Gemara says, Keman Kirabbanan. This brisa reflects the shita of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi, that the Prisha began on Thursday, continued on Friday, Torah was given on Shabbos, which would be the third day after Prisha began, against Rabbi Yossi, who would have said that Prisha began on Wednesday, and therefore the Torah was given on day four of Prisha. The next Gemara is perhaps one of the most, and I'm not dramatizing, the most famous Haggadic statements in all of Shas. Vayisyatzvu betachtis ha'har. If you take this pasuk literally, they stood under the mountain. And Omar Rabbi Avdimi bar Chama bar Chasa melamed shekofa kodesh baruch hu aleihem es ha'har kegigis. Imagine you have a gigantic barrel and you turn it upside down, obviously it has a vacuum, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts up the mountain of Sinai over the people of Israel. Imatem mekablim es haTorah mutavim lav shom tehei kvuraschem. I'm going to drop this barrel over your head and the entire people of Israel would perish. Now, there are two basic approaches that I want to share with you. I'm sure there are many, many approaches. I'm just going to mention two of them as to what this is all about. One approach is that there's a very profound message here that the Torah is compelling. It's true that the people of Israel voluntarily accepted the Torah, but the Torah is not dependent upon whether the Jewish people want the Torah or not. The Torah is an imposition and it's compelling. That's one approach. Another approach has it that perhaps the Jewish people, although they had accepted the Torah, it wasn't a complete acceptance. What does that mean? This is famous in the name of the Medrash Tanchuma, that the people of Israel were excited and willing to accept Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, but Torah Shebalpeh, that was too much for them. Torah Shebal Peh requires tremendous amount of study, a lot of amelus and yigiyah, and the halachas are intricate and all-encompassing. For that they needed kof aleihem har kegigis. They needed a kind of coercive threat. So this is not a voluntary enhancement of the people of Israel. Oh no. This is something that Israel has to accept, and it's mechayev. And number two, it means that not only Nasa v'nishma as far as Torah Shebichsav is concerned, but we're going to accept Torah Shebal Peh, and Hashem says, like it or not. Omer of Acha bar Yaakov, Modah, Mikan Modah, Rab Halil Reis. There's something called a Modah. If someone is forcing me, compelling me to sell my field, I notify two witnesses in private that I'm entering into this sale, this agreement, by compulsion against my will. And once that document is drawn up by the witnesses, then the person who sold his field under that compelling duress has rights to use that document and nullify the sale. And says Rav Acha, if we accept the Medrash of Rav Avdimi, then Bnei Yisrael have basically been compelled to accept the Torah. And that's kind of problematic, because when you're compelled and you sign a modah, that contract will allow you to back out and negate the agreement. Omar Rava, but Rava tells us, Afal pichein hadur kiblu abdimei Achashverosh, that they re-accepted the Torah willingly at the time of Achashverosh, after the great miracle of Purim. Dichsiv, it says in the Poskim Megillas Esther, kimu vekiblu ayehudim. What is kimu vikiblu? Okay, they were mekayim all the mitzvahs of Purim that were given to them by Mordechai and Esther, but what's kiblu? The extra word that they accepted it. Kimu mashe kiblu kvar. In other words, there was another acceptance of that which they accepted originally, because it was kafal em harkigigas. So now, as a result of the great miracle of Purim, the Jewish people were so excited, full of love and dedication. They would accept God's commandments willingly. They would obey His commandments and commit themselves, and no longer would there be any question about whether this commitment is legally binding, because it was done with full ratzon, with a full acceptance. Omar Chizki Omay Dichsiv. How do we interpret a pasuk in Tilim? Mishamayim hishmata din eretz yara ushkata. From heaven you made a judgment, meaning the Torah, you gave us the Torah. It was heard. The earth became afraid and then grew calm. There's like a havamina the maskana. So the Gemara asks, Im Yerea, if the earth was shaking, then lama shketa, why do you say it was calm? Vim shketa, and if you take the end, lama Yerea, why do you say it was afraid? El bitchila Yerea, ulabasof shketa. The Gemara is now going to analyze why the earth itself went through a transition from absolute fear to calm. Lama Yerea, kidereish lakish. The Amarish Lakish Maidich Sivai Erevai Vokayom Hashishi, and this Rasha of Reish Lakish reflects the Shita of the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yossi, that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday, and therefore the Torah on Shabbos was given on the 6th of Sivan. So the extra hay of Hashishi teaches me that there was a condition made in the creation of the earth. Hey Yisera Lomali, why the extra hey? Melame Chehisna Kodesh Baruch Hu, in Maisa Bereshis, God created a condition, a stipulation with all of creation. V'yamalahem, and He said to them, Im Yisrael Mekablam HaTorah, if on the 6th of Sivan, the people of Israel will receive the Torah, will accept the Torah, Atem Miskaimin, then there's a purpose to the universe, and it can be sustained. But im lav, if they'll refuse to accept the Torah, then machzir eschem l'tov vavo, I'm going to return the entire earth back to its original state of void. And this is based on a pasuk in Yeshayo Anavi, who says, im lo brisi yom v'layla chuko shamayim lo samti, that God indicates that the entire creation and its purpose was for Kabbalah Satorah. And so the earth trembles. They're worried, will the people of Israel accept the Torah? Otherwise we're going to revert back to void. Or will they accept the Torah? And at the end, when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, then it says, Shketa, the earth was calm. Darash Rav Simoi, B'shoshik Dimu Yisrael Nase L'nishma. The people of Israel said, Nase we will do. You know, there's a commitment to implement the mitzvahs, v'nishma, and then we'll hear what the mitzvahs are all about. A tremendous commitment on the part of Klal Yisrael, not even knowing what's really the content, and yet they committed themselves to Nasa. And at that moment, bo shishim ribui shal malachi ashois kol echad v'echad kashu lo shnei ksaret, echad k'neged Nasa, v'echad k'neged nishma. 600,000 angels came down from heaven, and they placed two crowns on the head of each Jew. So it seems that each angel was carrying two crowns and was designated for each Jew individually, one malach to each Jew. And the two ksarim parallel Nasa and Nishma. Now, what's so great about Nasa and Nishma? Elsewhere, the commentaries point out, not here, that Hikdimu, that the Nasa came before Nishma. As I said before, they didn't even know what the substance of the Torah was, and they already committed to Nasa. But the Beis HaLevi, my Rebbe's great-grandfather, was famous for saying that the Hakdama of Nasa and Nishma means the following. If they would have said Nishma v'Nasa, which would have been the natural process, let me learn the Torah so that I can keep the Torah. Once I learn the laws, then I can implement them. That would mean that the nishma of studying Torah is nothing more than a preparation. It's a means to an end so that we can implement the Torah. No. They said, Nasa, we'll fulfill the Torah. Whatever we have to know, you know, give me the hows and whos and all those books to tell me how to implement the Torah and I'll do it. And then nishma, then my study of Torah is for the sake of the love of Torah, not as a means to an end, but rather as an end to itself. Kevan shechatu Yisrael yardu mea v'yesrim ribo malochei chabola upirkum. Now we double the number of angels, and each angel was assigned the task of removing one of the two crowns. Each Jew of the 600,000 had two crowns, so we need 120,000 angels. Shenemar, where do we see that these ornaments, the crowns, were removed? Vaisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael's edyom mehar chorev. They were stripped of their jewelry, of their ornaments, of these two great crowns that they were given. Now we're going to see later that Emirtz Hashem, down the line, will receive those two crowns again. They'll be replaced, they'll be returned. Omar, Rabbi Chama, Barabbi Chanina. The Chorev Ta'anu, the crowns were placed on their heads at Har Chorev when they accepted the Torah. They were carrying these crowns. Bechorev Parku, because they worshipped the Egel Azov at the mountain itself, before Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, and then Parku, the crowns were removed by the Malachi Asharis. Bechorev Tanu Kidamaran. And Bechorev Parku, the Ksiv Aisnatzlu Bnei Yisrael. So they were given these crowns, and they were stripped of these crowns. Om Rabbi Yochanan Vekulam Zacha Moshe Unitolon. At that moment in history, at that crossroads, Moshe Rabbeinu received those crowns. And how do we know it? The Samachle, because in the very next pasuk it says, "Umoshe yikach es ha'ohel." And Rabbi Yochanan interprets that when it says Moshe would take the tent, it's referring, at least by implication, to those crowns. And in the tent, Moshe Rabbeinu had the crowns, and that's later on the reason why his face was so radiant and the people couldn't even tolerate looking at his face. He had to cover his face. Down the line in the future, when Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return the crowns to us. Shenemar, and we derive this from Yeshayahu HaNavi. Upduye Hashem Yeshuvun. The redeemed ones of Israel, Hashem will return to them, Ubot Zion, Berina. They will come to Zion with song. And maybe when it says with song, I don't know, maybe it means without corona, I don't know. Anyway, they're going to come back to Zion. Berina, Besimchas Olam al Rosham. The everlasting happiness on their heads. What's on their heads? Simcha Shemei Olam al Rosham. There was a simcha that was in the past on their heads, which represented the ksarim that were given to them at Har Sinai. That will be returned to them at the time of Moshiach. So if anybody asks you, why are you waiting so long for Mashiach with such great anticipation? The answer is you want your crowns back. The crowns represent Kedushas Yisrael, the full sanctity of Israel. The crowns represent Dveikus and Shechina, a close relationship with Almighty. And the reason why it says in the Pasuk in Kitisa, following Chet Egel, it says, Vayis Abolu, they were in a state of grief and mourning because they realized that now the relationship that they would have with the Ribbono Shel Olam would be a long-distance relationship. Because the ornaments, the crowns were removed from their heads, the Shechina was no longer there. Omer Ablozor, Beshoshek, Dimu, Yisrael, Nasal, Nishma, Yotza, Baskol, Viomra, Migila, Libonai, Roz, Zesh, Amaloche, Asharis, Mishtam, Shimbo. Who revealed to the people of Israel this secret? That only the angels up in heaven are aware of. Now, how do we know that the angels have this Nasa V'Nishma philosophy, the Chsiv? Because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Baruch Hashem Malachov Gibore Koach Osei Dvaro, and then L'Shma B'Kol Dvaro. So you see that the Torah, the Tanakh, when it's describing the angels, it has Osei Dvaro first. They implement God's mandate, and then L'Shma. And then afterwards they hear Beresha, Osei, Vahadar, and afterwards Lishma. And this represents the Malachim. They are absolutely dedicated to implement God's mandates, and they don't even know what's inside the mandate, what the content and the substance is. And how great a klal you saw that at the point of Nasa V'Nishma, they reached the level that was only achieved and that reflects the personification of what an angel is all about. Absolute commitment to the will of God. Om Rab Chama, Rab Chanina, Mai Dichsiv. What does it mean? And at this point, from now until pretty much the end of today's Shia, we're going to be studying Shir HaShirit, which is a symbolic representation of the marriage relationship between Knesset Yisrael, the bride, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the groom. And here the Pasuk compares the people of Israel to a tapuach. Again, I'm not sure exactly what a tapuach is. He translates it here in the English as an apple tree. I have doubts about it. But anyway, Laman Imshalu Yisrael a tapuach. Why the people of Israel compared to an apple tree? What's unique about an apple tree? And the answer is Lomalacha, to teach you that Ma Tapuach Zepirio Kodem Le'olav, the apple is unique because the fruits grow before the leaves. Af Yisrael Hikdimu Nase L'Nishma. So normally a fruit will grow leaves first, and then the fruit itself, a tree will grow, have leaves, and then the fruits grow. Here, in the case of a tapuach, the sequence is reversed, and first come the fruits, and then come the leaves. And so too, Klal Yisrael also switched the natural order by first saying Nase and not Nishma. And you get the impression that the Nasa here is parallel, is a mirror image of the fruits. And what it means is that a person's creation, so to speak, his contribution is reflective of his performance of mitzvahs. And then we get to the study of Torah, and that's the leaves. The leaves are there to protect the fruit. And so too the Torah protects Klal Yisrael. Hahu Tzduki. You know, the Tzdukim were always constantly ribbing it into the Prushim, to the traditional Jewish people. The Chazi L'Rava, he noticed that Rava Dekama Ayin V'Shmaitito, when he was studying very profoundly his Sugya, V'Yosva, and he sat Etzba'asa on his fingers. His fingers were somehow underneath his legs. Tiyade Tusekare, and with the legs pushing down on his fingers, on top of the bed or the couch that he was sitting on, Kamayitzbuhu, he was actually putting such pressure, unbeknown to Rava, on his fingers, that Kamavon etzba'ose dama. There was actually blood coming out of his fingers, unaware, unbeknown to Rava, Amalei, so that Stuki turns to Rava and he says, I'm a Paziza. Right, this is the kind of description that Yaakov Avinu gives Reuven. Pachas kamayim, you're impulsive. Tekad misu pumaychu leud naychu, that you put your mouths before your ears, meaning that first you said nase and then nishma. And akati, I see that even today you're still the same. The pachuzayu kamaysi, you're still impetuous. Bereisha yiboylechu lemishma. In the case of Kabbalah Satorah, you certainly should have said, first, let me hear the commandments so I can know what the content is. And imetzisu kablisu. And then you'll decide whether you find the commandments of the Torah find favor in your eyes and you'll accept them. Vilo, and if they don't, lo kablisu. That would have been the normal way of doing it. But you guys jumped the gun. You act passionately without thinking things out. Amalesa Rava counted against the Tzduki. Anan, and here we turn to Daf Pechesam and Beis, we the Jewish people, Disaginon Bishlei Musa, we worship God with complete, perfect faith. Ksiv Ben, it's written about the people of Israel, and this is really interesting because here he's quoting, if I'm not mistaken, just 1 second, let me see, Tumas Yesharim Tanchem. Oh, I see, a pasuk in Mishle. So let's translate the pasuk. The perfect faith of the upright shall lead them. Hanach Inshi Desagin Balilusa. The other people, the other nations of the world, they go in a perverse kind of way. Ksibahu Vesalef Begadim Yeshadim. Perverseness of the faithful, of the faithless, shall destroy them. And basically, Rava's answer is that Adra, on the contrary, this makes us unique, that we jump in and out of passion and love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to commit ourselves to the Torah. And we don't think it out. We know it's not an intellectual decision. It's something that, it's a wellspring within our very essence that we need the Torah, we want the Torah, we accept the Torah. Omer Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonasan, my dechsiv, back to Shir HaShirim, Libavtani Achosi Kalo, Libavtani V'achas Meinayich, Libavtani means you've captured my heart, Miloshen Lev, my sister, my bride. And then it says, B'achas Meinayich. Well, achas means one of the eyes, and Einayich means both eyes. So what is it? And he answers, says Rabbi Shmuel, b'tchila, at one stage, b'achas meinayich. But ultimately, l'chshetasi b'shtei einayich. So the people of Israel accepted the Torah. That's very nice. That's an abstract commitment. But the question is, would they implement the Torah as they had committed themselves to do? And that's already shtei einayich. Amar Ula. Now the Gemara takes a little bit of a digression to talk about the terrible sin of the Cheta Egel. Aluva kala mizana betoch kubasa. Kubasa. How degrading is it if a kala, a bride, will have some sort of an adulterous relationship during the process of marriage, in the chuppah itself. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a chuppah, and many of the Mefarshim say that the har, the mountain over the hovering over the people, was like a chuppah. And the clincher of that relationship as a marriage relationship between the dod and the kala would be the giving of the Torah. And right there at the foot of the mountain, they worship another god. Omrav Mori Bra Debashmuel Mikra. Where is Ula based upon? Some sort of pasuk. And again, we go back now to Shir HaShirim, and it says there, Ad Shamelech Bimsibo Nirdi. Okay, there are all sorts of fragrant perfumes here that are listed in Shir HaShirim. And here the pasuk says that while the king was at the Mesiba, already the perfume gave out its fragrance and was no longer fragrant. And Nasan means that it terminated. This fragrance came to an end. And Klal Yisrael realizes that the king was sitting at a wedding banquet, entering into this covenantal relationship with the people of Israel, and right there, they perform the act of znus, of being unfaithful, worshipping an idol, and so all the fragrance at the mesiba of the king just dissipated. Omar Rav, adayin chavivusa hi gabon. It's a very important principle, that even though the people of Israel sinned, a terrible, terrible sin, it was disgraceful, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. There's still chavivut, there's still endearment with regard to the Jewish people. Dechsiv nasan velo ksiv hisriach. Now, as the pasuk says, nasan recho, it gave out its fragrance. It doesn't say it was putrefied, so there was still some fragrance left. And that fragrance, that wonderful smell, represents the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Knesset Yisrael that continues even after we did such a shameful act, and we were unfaithful. Torah Rabbanu, we learned in the Brayse, Aluvim v'enam olvim. We're going to describe a great midah, a great attribute. People are insulting you, and how do you respond? Well, you have two choices. You can either, you know, bite back and fight, or you can accept it and say, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to fight with this fellow. I'm not going to insult him in response. Another example. Shomim cherposam v'enim mashivim. They are disgraced, and yet they don't respond. Such people can only be described as osim me'avo smechim b'yisurim. They are dedicated to Hashem with love. They rely on Hashem, and they realize that all of reward and punishment are in His hands. Usmeichim b'yisurim, they're willing to accept with happiness suffering. We discussed this in Masechet Brachos, if you recall, the great level of Kabbalas Yisurim b'Ava. V'aleim HaKosuv Omer, a pasuk in Shoftim, that the pasuk says, V'o'avav ketzeis HaShemesh b'gvuroso. Those who love Hashem shall be like the sun that goes forth with all its might. And as you all know, I don't have to tell you this, when a person accepts insult and disgrace and he doesn't respond, he's on such a high level of Bitzeis Hashem that he can give a bracha to anyone. And that bracha will be fulfilled. It's a great kach ha-bracha. So if you find someone who's been insulted publicly and he doesn't respond, ask him to give you a bracha. Om Rab Yochanan, my dechsiv, here's a pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem yitain omer hamevasros tzava ra. Very complicated pasuk. The translation is, my Lord made a declaration, the heralds are a mighty host. Called Dibur v'Dibur sheyotza mipi agvura nechlak l'shivim l'shonos. Every statement that emanated from Hashem's mouth was divided into 70 languages. So it means that Rabbi Yochanan interprets this pasuk as an allusion to Maimed Har Sinai, the giving of the Torah. And there were 10 Dibros. And each one of those Dibros was divided into 70 different languages. If the people of the world will claim, well, why weren't we given access to the Torah? Hashem says, you know what? The Torah is going to be understood in your language as well. And here there's a long discussion about the evolution of 70 languages. They all came from the original language, which was Lashon Kodesh. But at the time of the Chait of Bavel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Lashon Kodesh and he, so to speak, smashed it into 70 different bastardizations of the language for the 70 umos. But each one of those languages has some spark of potential of connection back to the original Lashon Kodesh. Tani Debei Rabbi Yishmael. And now we're going to look at a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Hanavi, Ubefatish Yefotze Sela, like a hammer, the word of God breaks a rock. Ma Patish Zeh Nechlak Lekamani Tzotzotz. When you take the hammer and you smash the rock, then little pebbles, little slivers of rock sort of splashed in all directions, is af kol dibra v'divra shiotzim v'pikar shproch, each one of the aseres ha-dibros, nechlak l'shivim l'shonos. It was smashed into 70 languages that spread throughout throughout the world. Now at this point, I cannot overcome my temptation to leave you with a question, and if you can, you know, send me an answer. Chazal tell us in Masechta Tainis and elsewhere that it was a very bad thing for the Torah to be translated into other languages. The Septuagint, and we have a day in Teves that we fast partially for that reason, the translation of the Torah into Greek at that time. Here, it seems that it was very important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that the entire world and all the nations therein would have access to the Aseres HaDibros. And the question that I want to ask is, what's the difference between Aseres HaDibros and the rest of the Torah? Think about that. Omer Rav Chananel Bar Papa, Mai Dichsiv. Again, we go back to Tanakh, to Mishlei in this case. What is the meaning of the Pasuk Shimu? Shimu ki negidim adaber. Listen, for I will speak princely things. Now, a prince in the old days had certain, what we call executive powers. Normally, the executive powers are given exclusively to the king, but the prince gets some of those executive powers. And here, with this pasuk, when it says Adaber, again, which referring to the Aseres HaDibros, to the Torah, and comparing it to Negidim, to the princes, Laman Imshlu Direi Torah Kenagid, what's this analogy to a prince? Lomalacha Ma Nagid Ze Yeshba Lahamis Ulahachios, Af Direi Torah Yeshba Lahamis Ulahachios. In other words, Torah is like a two-edged sword. You have to treat it very carefully, and it's very fragile. It can go one way or the other. It could be great, and it could be very damaging. It's like a sama moves. If you have a drug, and if you take the drug properly when you're ill, great, it's therapeutic. But if you misuse the drug, it could be very damaging. And the prince has the executive power of giving clemency. Or, on the contrary, the prince, back in the day, could have power to declare that someone is to be condemned to death. So life and death was in the hands of the prince. And so too, life and death is in the hands of the Torah. The Torah is a force, an energy force. Hainu Diyomar Rava, a very famous statement of Rava, La Maiminim, those who go on the right side, Ba with Torah, right side is the powerful, mighty arm, is samadachai, then it's a drug of life. But lamas me'ilim, by those who go with the left, is samadamosa, Torah itself becomes a vehicle for as a drug for death. And that's how powerful and potent Torah is. It's life, it's death. And some say it means that those who study Torah and implement Torah, for them it's life. If they refuse to implement the Torah that they learned, Chas Shom Tzil, or Torah Lishma is Biyamin, you know, I give all my energy because I want to study Torah for the sake of Torah, for the sake of Hashem, and that's going to be great. But if Lishma Elim, those who are Shalol Lishma, they want to use the Torah for different purposes, perverse purposes, they want to they want to deviate and destroy the Torah, then the Torah is very... Dover Acher, another interpretation, Negidim. Why is the word Negidim written in plural? Two princes. And the answer is called Dibur V'dishatz Mikigash Baruch Hu Koshrim Lo Shnei Ksarim. The Torah has two levels. There's what we call Nigla, and then there's Nistar. There's the open, accessible Torah on a straightforward level, and then there's the secrets of the Torah. So this is indicated by the plural of Negidim. Negidim, here in this context, is a metaphor for the fact that every part of the Torah can be understood on two levels, and the people of Israel get two crowns. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what does the pasuk mean in Shir HaShirim again? Tzrar, Hamar, these are types of fragrances. Dodi Li, my beloved is to me, Bein Shaddai Yolin, lodge between my bosom. Omar Knesset Yisrael, Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the people of Israel, as the bride turns to the groom and says, Ribono Shel Olam, Af Al Pi Shem Meitzar, Umeimar Li, Dodi Bein Shaddai Yolin. Even though I've gone through distress and I've experienced bitterness, nevertheless, God, you are lodged between my bosom. I am still committed to you. There is still a love relationship. And this might have to do with the tzivui immediately in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel to build the Mishkan. And the Shekhinah is between the Kruvim that were over the Aron. And those Kruvim are compared here symbolically to a bosom. And therefore Hashem is close to Klal Yisrael. Even after they suffer the anguish and the punishment of Chet HaEgel, nevertheless that relationship still goes on, and the commitment of the bride to the groom is still the same, and she takes the groom and his love, and she takes it between her bosom. We go on in Shir HaShirim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Eshkol HaKofer Dodi Li B'Charmi Ein Gedi, a cluster of a certain, again, fragrant drug, is my beloved to me in the vineyards of Ein Gedi. Now notice the word HaKofer, and HaKofer is again the name of an herb, but it also has another meaning. Misha Kol Shalom Mechaper Lo. HaKofer is Miloshen Kapara, and it means that to whom all belongs to atone for my sins. And on what sins? Alavon Gidi, right? Ein Gedi is a symbol, a metaphor for the golden calf. She Karamti Li, which I heaped up for myself. And what this means is that when the people of Israel said, Ela Elohecha Yisrael, and they turned to the Egel and they said, these are my gods, as if to say they heaped up gods, one on top of the other. And the Gemara says, how do I know that the word karmi means to heap up? My mashma, is there somewhere that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saw a source that the word karmi is lishna de machnesu, it means you gather things together, one pile of one on top of the other. Marazutra bereid rav nachukit esnan. We have a Mishnah Masechta Kelim that kisa shel koves, a chair in which the launderer sits, shekarmim olav esakelim, that as he takes out the laundered clothing, he piles them up one on top. Furthermore, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsiv, again back to Shir HaShirim, what does the pasuk mean? Lechayav kearugas habosem, God's cheeks are like a bed of spices, called Dibur v'dibur sheyotza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every one of the Aseres HaDibros Nismale Kol HaOlam Kula B'Samin, it filled the entire earth with fragrance, with spices. And this is all based on a Gemara that we're going to have later on, that Parcha Nishmasam, they needed that smell in order to revive them because they were so overwhelmed by the experience of the revelation. They needed this fragrant odor to, in a sense, revive their faint state. V'kevan shemi dibur rishon nismale, dibur sheni lehechan holach. Right, the indication here is that there was one dibur and then another dibur. And as if to say that during the first dibur there were these smells that came from, we said, arugas habosem, and then somehow the other smells from the second dibur were not yet in existence. So the Gemara asks, is dibur sheni leheichan holach? Where were the beautiful smells of the second dibur? And the answer is, Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaRuach Me'otzrosov V'yamavir Rishon Rishon. In other words, all these beautiful fragrant odors were in the Otzros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the treasuries of God, and he would open up the treasury and take out one fragrance in turn, one at a time, one dibur and then another dibur. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Sifso Sov Shoshanim Notfos Mar Over, his lips are flowers, they drip flowing mar. Mar is a kind of fragrant spice. Al Tikri Shoshanim, don't read it as flowers, Ella Sheshonim. Shonim means to repeat something over and over again. That's called Shinun, which is Chazara. And basically, the Ruach of Hashem, as we said before, the Ruach Me'otzrosav is repeatedly causing, as we said, Shoshanim is Miloshen Shinun, repeatedly over and over causing this fragrance of spices one after the other. Now, Rabosai, before I asked you a question about whether or not it's a good idea for the Torah to be translated into other languages, be accessible to the Goyim, so I'm hoping that I'll get some answers and my email is open to you, I want to ask another question. Chazal go out of their way to point out that all Aseres HaDibros were given b'dibur echad, b'neshima achas, with one breath, masha'ein ha'peh yochel l'daber. No, we can't say two things at the same time, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all 10. And here in this Gemara, the impression is just the opposite. That the Diburim, the Dibros of the Aseres HaDibros were given one after the other, in sequence. As if Hashem was holding back each one of the Dibros until it was the turn for that one of the Dibros. I don't know. How do you understand this? The Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, we keep quoting Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Kol Dibur v'Dibur Shiyotza Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How overwhelming was the experience to hear the Dibur straight from God's mouth. Yotza son Nishmason Shal Yisrael, the physical body and the soul could no longer live as a hybrid together, one with the other. And the Neshamos somehow departed. Shenemar, and again, going back to Shir Hashirim, Nafshi Yotza Bidabro, with the Dibur of the Aseres HaDibros, my soul departed. And this is part of the explanation as to why Klal Yisrael turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, you transmit the Torah. U'me'achar shemi Dibur Rishon Yotza Nishmosa Dibur Sheni Eich Kiblu. We know that they received two Dibros directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. Well, once they got the first Dibur, their souls would have separated from their bodies. So how then could they receive the second Dibur? Horid Tal, Sha'osid La'achios Bo Mesim. At the end of days, when God will bring about the Tchias HaMesim, it's going to be with Tal, a certain special type of dew. And God used that Tal to be Mechayim Mesim at the time of Kabbalah Sator VeHechiyosam, and He resurrected them, Shenemar. And here we're going to quote a pasuk in Tehillim, and the entire theme of this Perek Samaches in Tehillim, Kapitel Samaches, is all about Kabbalah Satorah. And it says there, Geshem Nidovos Tonif Alukim Nachlasecha V'nil'o Ata Konanta. a generous rain did you lavish, O God, when your heritage was weary and you established it firmly. So this pasuk is talking about heritage being weary. That's nila. Nila, I would translate it not as weary, but as fatigued. And fatigue is something that a person suffers from when he's very weak. And perhaps there's some psychological cause as well to fatigue. Rabbi Yochanan ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi goes on. And he says, "Called Dibur, Dibur Shiatsu Mipigad Kosh Baruch." Which each one of the Aser Sedivus, when it came out of Hashem's mouth, Chazu Yisrael Achoreim, the people of Israel retreated. They couldn't tolerate it. Shneimas Sarmil, for a large area. V'Hayu Malachi Asharis Midadidin Baosam, and the angels helped them to somehow. Lidadid means, you know, when you step on one foot and then another foot. The other foot back and forth, like a child that totters around back and forth. Shenemar, as it says, Malachi Tzvakos Yidodun Yidodun. And this is a pasuk in Tehillim, which describes the angels as tottering back and forth. But I'll take to Yidodun Eliyadadun, which means to help others to totter. So it's in the two different grammatical structures. One is active and the other is causative. And they caused others to totter back. So the people of Israel, although when they heard the commandments directly from Hashem, they were overwhelmed, they became weak, they were fatigued, they didn't die. And somehow they got the support for the Malachi Ashares, and they were able slowly but surely to regain themselves and to come back to where HaKadosh Baruch would give them the Torah. V'yom Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, another teaching of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, B'shosh ala Moshe la Morom, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Moshe Rabbeinu up to the mountain, Omru Malachi HaShosnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mali Yilud Isha Beinenu. Why is man who is physical, born to a physical flesh and blood, why is he up here amongst us in the Shamayim? Amalehen lekabel Torah ba. He came to receive the Torah. Amalefan of the Malachim responded, Chamuda Gnuza, this beautiful, coveted, treasured Torah, Shegnuza Lecha, Chameos Vishivim Vyarba Doros, 974 generations, Kodim Shinivra, before the creation of the world. Vyata Mavakesh Litno Lebasar Vidam. And you want to give them to flesh and blood to man? Ma enosh ki siz kareno apostle kintilim. Why do you remember man? Uben adam ki tifkidenu. And you recall the son of man. The Torah is so great. It's your treasure. And it's before creation, before material finite existence. It belongs up here. Hashem Adonai ma adir shimcha b'chol ha'aretz. Why are you creating a grandiose name down in earth? Tna hodcha al shamayim. You should bestow your glory on the heavens. Let the Torah remain up in the heavens. Now, Rabosai, if you remind me on another occasion, I want to talk to you about the number 974, about these generations. In any event, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, hachzir lehem tshuva. Moshe was afraid to give them an answer. Ribono shel olam, misyarei ani shema yisrafuni behevel shebefiyem, they'll burn me up with the breath in their mouths. Amar lo achoz bekisei hakvodi, hold on to my throne of glory up in Shemayim. Vechazor lehem tshuva, and that'll protect you, they won't burn you up. Shenemar, and this is based on a pasuk in Eov, me'achez pnei kisei haparshaz olav agono, he allows him, meaning Moshe, to grasp the face, the facade of the throne of Hashem. He spreads him upon him his cloud, I mean a cloud of protection. Omer Rav Nachman Lamech Shapiri Shakai Miziv Shchinoso Vanono Olav. That God spread of the radiance of his presence and the cloud upon Moshe to protect Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's because Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed hold of the throne of Hashem. Omer Lefon of him, Moshe responded, is Ribono Shel Olam Torah, Shata Nosein Li Ma kosiv baksiv, but what does it say in the Torah? No kiyashem el kecha shor tzoysicha meretz Mitzrayim. Omale, Moshe turns to the angels. Le Mitzrayim yoradetem, le Paro ishtadvadetem. Did you go down to Egypt? Were you enslaved by Paro? Vaita. Torah lama, Torah lama tev. Shuv maksiv, but what else does it say? Lo yielach Elohim achirim. Are you amongst the nations of the world, bein ha'amim atem shruim, sha'ovdim, that worship idols, avodas kol galilim on the top of Peites, shuv maksiv bei zecharis yom ha'shabbos l'kadsho. Observe the day of Shabbos. Klum atem osim olocha shatem tzrichim shvus. You have to rest because you're busy with very heavy physical labor. Shuv maksiv, what else is in the Torah? Lo tisa, you should not take an oath with the name of God and a false oath. Maso, matan, yesh b'nechem. We have an oath that we have to take when there's a litigation in business. Do you have any business dealings that you'll need an oath? Shuv maksiv by kavedes avich v'simecha. Ava aim yeshlem, do you have a father or mother? Shuv maksiv ba lo sirtach, lo sinav, lo signov. I mean, this is all because people are suffering from jealousy. Is kina yesh b'nechem, yetzahara yesh b'nechem? Are you overwhelmed by the evil inclination? Miad hodulo. LaKadosh Baruch Hu, they admitted, they conceded defeat. Shenema Hashem Adonenu, in the same chapter until that we mentioned earlier, Ma Adir Shimcha. It doesn't say Tnoa Hodcha L'Shamayim, but here at the end of the chapter it says, Ma Adir Shimcha, how great and how grandiose is your name on the earth, Ba'aretz. That the Torah has to be given down on the Aretz. Miad Kol Echad V'Echad Nasalo Oev. Every one of the angels befriended Moshe, beloved him, and umasar lo davar shenemar aliso lamarom shavisa shevi lakachta matonos bi'od. We'll stop here on the top of Peites Amud Aleph.